Dr. Brett, Dr. Vicker, what can I say to this great church the first Sunday after Easter? Pep rally rhetoric is for locker rooms at basketball games. I am told that crash programs and promises of instant cures belong to politicians, not to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You notice I caveated that, I am told. A Senate chaplain, I'm not stupid. I am told that thick volumes of social analysis are the province of academicians on cloistered university campuses. I know that throwing in the towel is not an option for those of us who have been given a towel of service by our blessed Lord and commissioned to go make disciples of humankind. What can I say? I will lift this morning and commend four words that are tall enough and deep enough to lead First Baptist in the most ambiguous of times. These words are simply, give God your best. Give God your best. Henry Kissinger, in one of his books, tells the story of a student in a freshman composition class at Harvard University. On the first day of class, the professor said, I want you to write an essay and turn it in tomorrow. And they did. On Wednesday, they received their papers back from the professor, and one student picked up his paper, and on the bottom of the paper was a simple question: is this the best you can do? He took the paper, done very well in high school. He was astonished. He checked for unity and coherence in his paragraphs. He made sure that there were succinct transitions between the paragraphs, and then he resubmitted the paper only to receive it back the next day with the same cryptic query, is this the best you can do? Puzzled, he returned home. He noticed that, yes, indeed, there were times when he could change the passive voice to the active voice. Yes, the paper had been strengthened. He took it back to the teacher, and the following day, third time, receives the paper back. Is this the best you can do? And now, puzzled, he takes it home and reads and rereads it and finds, yes, just this one instance, the passive voice would actually be stronger. He changes it, and then at the top of the paper, he writes, this is the best that I can do. He waits until after class. He walks up to the professor and hands him the paper and says, sir, this is the best that I can do. And the professor said, good. Now I will read it. My sisters and my brothers, if human beings expect us to do our best, why should we not do the best for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you giving him the best of your time? If the amount of time spent watching television, instead you spent studying the Word of God, would you be more spiritually fit or less spiritually fit? Some of us would be spiritual Olympians if we did that. Are you giving him the best of your time? Are you giving him the best of your talents? Each of us is given at least one talent. Matthew chapter 25 says, to some he gave five, to some he gave two, to some he gave one. Dr. Bradley, I have discovered that at every level, that is true. When I was in the military, at the flag and general officer level, there were five talent admirals and generals, there were two talent admirals and generals, and there were, how in the world did he get promoted, admirals and generals? Okay. Even in the legislative branch of government, and I know we, you know, is this being taped? Is this mic on? There are five talent senators. There are two talent senators, and there are he knows somebody senators. Okay, I mean that is just the way it is. Now, how do I know what my talent is? The Bible says that the purpose of your gift, the purpose of your talent, is to edify the body of Christ. It is to bless believers. I know I have a gift when it is validated by the body of Christ. If, for instance, Dr. Vickers had asked me to sing a He's a wise man. He did not ask me to do that. But had he asked me to sing a solo, and I sang a solo before I preached, and at the end of the service, people were deliberately avoiding me. Those who were unable to get around me would talk about anything but the song. Okay? How about those hawks? Anything but the song. Okay? That is the Holy Spirit's gentle way of reminding me, try something different. If I bring a dish to the potluck, say ouch if you can't say amen, and my reputation precedes me, so that the only few tablespoons that are taken from my dish are taken by visitors, because the word is already out among the saints. That is God's gentle way of telling me, try something different. But each of us has something that we can do. Are you faithful in developing your gift? Remember in Matthew 25, the common theme of those who successfully invested their talents was the willingness to take some risk. If you're going to give God your best, you must take risk. You will never walk on water, First Baptist, if you don't get out of the boat. Are you being faithful? Are you giving God your best? Is that the best you can do with regard to your talents? Is it the best you can do with regard to your troubles? We have many sunshine Christians. They smile when all is going well. They praise God in church when they are gainfully employed. They celebrate the successes of their children. I had great sermons on Christian parenting when I was in my 20s. But the pulpit becomes strangely quiet during the teen years. Didn't preach anything for a good little while. Still have an 18-year-old, so I still haven't been preaching for a good little while. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, Christians sorrow not as those who have no hope. We need more Timex Christians, those who can take a licking and keep on ticking. We need Christians who can handle the vicissitudes of life. Is this the best you can do with regard to your trouble? Sometimes when I was growing up, my 7 siblings and I would have to come to church hungry because we had an involuntary fast the day before. Now, voluntary fasting is good for spiritual fitness, but brothers and sisters, involuntary fast, that's not a good deal. My mother would simply announce, children, we don't have anything to eat. And so we would come to church feeling like hostages because my mother forewarned us, and you must not let anyone know you are hungry. So we would be coming and people would be saying, the Lord is good. And we were supposed to be saying all the time, you need to look people in the eyes when you shake their hands. Are you doing your best with regard to your troubles? And one of the amazing things, Dr. Vicker, every week somebody invited us home for dinner. There were people who walked the talk. We were invited home so often, I thought we were celebrities. Where will we be eating today? And my mother would always let us know, when you go over someone's home, you know that they are making a sacrifice. If they ask this question, she would drill us, you know, can I get you something else? Children, what is your response? We would, with great trepidation, and no, ma'am, we have enough. My mother would drill us, okay. But then I would go there and the food would smell so good. See, you know, nothing like good Southern cooking. And these people could bring together, they wouldn't just have collards, they'd have mustards and throw something else in there. And I would almost have a prayer language. I would be so happy. And then someone would come and say, can I get you something else? And I knew what the right answer was. And I knew that swift judgment would follow. But I was willing to take the pain for the gain. I'll take some more of that, you know, with my mouth full. Yeah. Are we making the best of our troubles? Are we sorrowing hopefully? Is this the best you can do? First, in our scripture lesson, our blessed Lord is preaching to a multitude. He preaches for 3 days, and the people are mesmerized by his message. They are so captivated by his wonderful words of life that they forget to eat. Now, you know you are preaching when people forget to eat. You are preaching, in fact, when people don't look at their watches. I don't mind them looking at their watches. I do get a little concerned when they begin to tap the watch to make sure it's still running. That does bother me, I must concern. Okay. The 3 days are over. It is time for the people to go, and the disciples are dismissing them. Have a blessed traveling experience. We are praying for you. God bless you. We hope to see you again when we get to Decapolis. And Jesus says, hold it. Wait a minute. Give the people something to eat. Is this the best you can do? If we let them go, many have come from great distances, they will faint along the way. And then the disciples, I know they were sanctified church people because of the question and the response to Jesus. They said, how are we going to find food in a desert place like this to feed the multitude? That's church. Those are church folk talking there. It can't be done. Not in the Atlanta area. It can't be done up in this area. No. Somewhere else maybe. Down in Texas, but not here. 150 reasons why it can't be done. Jesus said to his disciples, how many loaves do you have? Give me something to work with. 7. But I have discovered that if you give Jesus what you have, if you give him your best, he will bless it, he will break it, and he will, in the words of Ephesians 3:20, do immeasurably, abundantly, above all that you can ask or imagine. Hallelujah. If you're going to give God your best, the first principle in this story is make some real sacrifices. Make some real sacrifices. The Bible says, and if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. These people had made real sacrifices to get to Jesus. Many times, First Baptist, when we think we are making sacrifices, we aren't doing very much at all. We're skimming the cream. We're tipping God. In fact, some of us make greater sacrifices in restaurants than we do in church. I don't like to go to a restaurant with my wife because my wife falls in love with the waitress. And I say, baby, it's her job. My wife, she gets in a conversation, and the next thing, Brenda wants a 50% tip. I said, well, honey, wait a minute. I mean, let's protocol here. But that's the way she is, right? Sacrifice. Jesus said, these people have made real sacrifices. Some months ago, I was asked to go to Los Angeles because Fuller Theological Seminary was naming an institute for preaching in honor of my predecessor in the Senate, Dr. Lloyd John Ogilvie. And they said, Dr. Black, we would like you to come and speak for 5 minutes. Now, you do not ask an African-American preacher to preach for 5 minutes. You are asking him or her to do the impossible. You don't ask that. We want you to fly 3,000 miles to preach for 5 minutes. I preach longer than that in the shower. So my staff said, Dr. Black, you're busy. Why don't you send a video of your preaching and they'll put it up. It's only 5 minutes. Why fly 3,000 miles? But I felt impressed to go. And so I said, no, I'm going to go anyhow. I don't know how I'm going to speak for only 5 minutes, but I'm going to go anyhow. And I must confess that I was feeling pretty proud of myself. As I was walking through the airport, and you know, people will talk to you, where are you going? I'm going to California. Oh, you live there? No, I am going to be speaking at a ceremony for 5 minutes for Dr. Lloyd John Ogilvie. Oh, what a sacrifice. 3,000 miles to only speak for 5 minutes. I got there. We went out to the church, and I looked at the program, and there were six other preachers. That was the reason for the 5 minutes. You know, if you tell a preacher 5 minutes, you're going to get 15 anyway. So they had it. And two of the preachers who lived in Southern California had sent videos. And so now I'm feeling like I've really made a sacrifice. And I started saying to myself, you know, you are truly a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing individual you are. You flew you go. I know heaven is rejoicing at your sacrifice. And then I met one of the preachers and he said, hello, how are you? And I said, you're not from around here, are you? And no, as a matter of fact, I am not. I flew in from Edinburgh, Scotland. My wife came with me, and we are coming. I am speaking on the program. I said, you one of the 5 minute preachers? I said, yes, yes. So you're telling me that you flew from Scotland and brought your wife with you to speak for 5 minutes? Oh, yes, certainly. Dr. Ogilvie, yes, sir. I would do it. I would try. So now I'm feeling a little more humble. Then Jack Hayford comes in. And he comes in. He's got a little limp. I said, Doc, are you okay? He says, I just flew in from South Africa. He said, I didn't have a chance to go home because this was the only way I could make it for 5 minutes. And I realized that my pride in my great sacrifice was inappropriate, for my sacrifice paled in contrast to what others were willing to do. If you're going to give the King of Kings and Lord of Lords your best, First Baptist, make some real sacrifice. Sacrifices. Principle two, if you're going to give God your best, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you can do before you give him your best. Brighten the corner where you are. Ambassador Tony Hall was in Calcutta, and he spent some time with Mother Teresa. And at the end of a long and exhausting day, he said, Mother Teresa, how do you do it? He said, there is just so much sickness, so much pain. How do you do it? And Mother Teresa responded, you do the work that is in front of you. And she pointed to a leper, and she walked over with Ambassador Hall, and she talked with the man, and she helped him up, and she took him back to her little place and fed him and made sure that he was taken care of. And then she looked at the ambassador and she said, you do the work that is in front of you. Jesus could have made the most fantastic meal these people had ever experienced. They would have been talking about it for decades. I'd never tasted food like that before, but he kept it simple. Loaves and fish, the common food of the fisher folks. Instead of having elaborate plans, find a way, First Baptist, to feed the hungry, Matthew chapter 25, to clothe the naked, keep it simple, to bring in the stranger, to empower the incarcerated, to visit the sick. Keep it simple if you're going to give God your best. I said in the morning service that we give God our best when we give him what he wants and not what we want. And I told about going to Victoria's Secret for my wife's birthday present. And I got something so flimsy and so small that when Brenda opened the present, she looked around in the box to see if there was something else in there. Is this it? And then she turned to me with a gentle smile and said, "This looks like a present for you, not for me." Okay? If we're going to give the Christ who had nails driven in his hands for you and me and had a crown of thorns pressed upon his head, if we're going to give him our best, give him what he wants. And he said, "I came," Luke chapter 4, "to bring deliverance to captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And when we minister to the marginalized, the lost, the lonely, the least, we are giving him what he wants. I challenge you, keep it simple. There is a third principle if we're going to give God our best, and that is we must cooperate with divinity. Verse 6, "Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute." He uses our hands. He uses our feet. He uses our tongue. Are you cooperating with divinity? Each day, someone asks you at some point, I am sure, "How are you?" Or "What's going on?" Or "What's happening?" Or however they may phrase it. ¿Qué pasa? You can testify about the goodness of the Lord with a very simple response. Instead of saying, "I can't complain." Instead of saying, "The weather is kind of bad, isn't it?" If you simply say, "I am blessed," you out yourself as a Christian. Try it. People will actually step back when you say it, I've discovered. You know, "How are you?" "I'm blessed." They don't even realize that I'm blessed. They will actually step back. But you, in that simple response, praise God, you are communicating to someone that you know Jesus as Lord. Okay? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? In some of our cases, they throw it out there. It's absolutely, you have no case. Okay. We must cooperate with divinity. Give God our loaves and then give him our hands and give him our service if we are going to give him our best. God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. Each person that Jesus healed, he required faith on the part of the individual being healed. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand." It's withered. What are you talking about? "Stretch forth your hand." You must cooperate with divinity. He said to the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, there for almost 4 decades, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." What a crazy question it would seem to ask a lame man, but humanity cooperates with divinity. In John 11, he goes to the graveside of Lazarus and he says, "Roll away the stone. I do resurrections But I don't do stones. Roll away the stone. Are you cooperating with divinity in making your dreams come true? I do singles workshops. I encounter singles who need to roll away a few stones before they start praying for a miracle. And they will come up to me, some of them describing Superman. Here's the
chaplain. Now he has to. Here's my card. Now I'm looking for somebody. He got to be at least 6'4".
Here she is, about 5'2". So she's wiping up.
He got to be at least 6'4". And this is the kind of edumacation. And I'm thinking about, girlfriend, roll away the stone. You know.
And I get guys who come in the same way. I is looking for some, and I said, Lord, have mercy. Roll away the stone. They've got orthodontists who can fix your teeth. My brother, roll away the stone. Humanity must cooperate with divinity. Hallelujah. Roll away the stone. And then the final principle, if you're going to give God your best, live a life of gratitude. Hallelujah. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, verse 6, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples. 7, they also had a few small fish, and after blessing them, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Do you live a life of gratitude? If you're going to give God your best, you need to live a life of praise and gratitude. The reason why many people have difficulty praising God in church is because they don't praise Him during the week. See, you ought to bring your praise with you. And if you have been praising Him all week, praise God, then it is easy to praise Him when you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas had been beaten and unfairly incarcerated. Now, most of us would have been feeling pretty sorry for ourselves. But around midnight, one turned to the other and said, I don't know about you, but I feel like praising God. And in that subterranean cell, they had a hallelujah, Holy Ghost-filled prayer meeting. They started singing. I don't know what they sang, choir, but I know that the Psalms form the hymn book of the early church. Perhaps they sang hymn 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Perhaps they sang hymn 2, why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing against the Lord and against his? Perhaps they sang hymn 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Perhaps they sang hymn 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom then shall I... Perhaps they sang hymn 121. They had a lot of time on their hands. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be removed. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But I know whatever songs they sang, heaven got happy. For the Bible says that heaven is God's throne and the earth is his footstool. And I believe God started patting his feet to the praise of his incarcerated children. That's why the earth started shaking and the chains fell off. There is only one recorded time in Scripture where our blessed Lord sang, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. Now, I'm sure that Jesus sang on other occasions, but this is the only time in the New Testament where the Bible says Jesus sang, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. When did he sing? When did he manifest this life of gratitude? As they left the upper room, hallelujah, on his way to Gethsemane, on his way to the cross, he sang a hymn. If Jesus could sing as he headed toward Calvary to die for you and me, then what excuse do we have if we're going to give him our best for not living a life of gratitude? So with Andre Crouch, I say I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There have been times when I've felt so all alone. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for all the storms he's brought me through. Because if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in his holy word can do. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. First Baptist, is this the best you can do? The best of your time, the best of your talents, the best of your troubles, the best of your treasures, the best of your testimony. Is this the best you can do? Let's begin to make some real sacrifices, like the widow who gave her all. Let's not go complicated. Let's just keep it simple. Let's help somebody as we pass along so that our living will not be in vain. Oh, my sisters and my brothers, when the storms of life are raging, let's cooperate with divinity. God uses our hands. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel. When necessary, use words." And then let us live a life of gratitude. In everything, give thanks. If God never does another thing for us, he has already been better to us than we deserve. So let's praise him. Let's praise him until the day will come when we will cast our crowns at his feet and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Do you receive it, First Baptist? Praise the Lord. Everyone Jesus ever called, he called publicly. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me, I will deny you. Once a woman touched the hem of his garment and tried to slip away incognito, but he picked her out of the lineup, and she had to make a public declaration regarding the inward change that had occurred in her life. I want to make an appeal today to two groups of people. It requires a prompt public response. The first group is someone who happens to be a backslider. I'm not talking about the normal lapses that each of us has, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm talking about far country pig pen of sin. And today the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you know you need to return back to the Savior. And this is the best way for you today to give God your best. I appeal to you to make that decision today. The second group I appeal to is some man or woman who has never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. And today is your day to make the most important and the best decision you can make. I made it when I was 10 years old, and my life has never been the same. You want Jesus to be Lord of your life, and you want First Baptist to be your church home. I appeal to you to make that decision today, publicly. If you're a backslider who needs to be restored, if you're someone who needs to now become a part of the Christian family, I want to say to you, delayed obedience is disobedience. I would ask you, if you're in either of these groups, to stand where you are right now. I want to pray for you. Man, woman, boy, girl, just stand on your feet if you're in either of those groups. Man, woman, boy, girl, right now, promptly. This can be your opportunity to give God your best. How many have the courage to do that right now? Just stand up for Jesus. Man, woman, boy, girl. Praise God. God bless you. Just quickly, just stand. Hallelujah. You're in either of those groups. Church is praying for you. Just slip up. God bless you. Stand up. You know who you are. Heaven is writing down your name. The Bible says there is joy in heaven. Hallelujah. When one says yes, and a little child shall lead them. Hallelujah. God bless you. Somebody else. The only difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins was timing. Delayed obedience. They all got the oil, but the five foolish purchased the oil too late. Don't let it be said too late, too late. Somebody else needs to just slip up quickly. We're not going to prolong this appeal, but this is critically important. Hallelujah. God bless you in the balcony. God bless you in the balcony. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. We're counting down now like they do at Cape Kennedy, the 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Okay. All right. Jesus is speaking to you through his Holy Spirit right now. I'm convinced that somebody else needs to do that. God bless you, my brother. Somebody else, just quickly, as we close this appeal. Okay. Well, we're going to stand. Everyone, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I'm going to ask those of you who have stood to come down the aisle as we sing Amazing Grace. I want to have a special short prayer with you. If you're already standing, just step out where you are, come down the aisle, and we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. If you know you need to be down this aisle with them, I want you to come in the balcony. We'll wait for you. Just come on down. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand praise for what the Holy Spirit is doing here. Put your hands together for me. Okay. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, what a wonder you are. You bring us into this environment of worship. And then through the power of your Holy Spirit, speaking through your word, you transform human hearts. These dear ones have come forward, O God, because they are serious about giving you their best. Seal their commitments today with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Send your anointing upon their lives so that they will be spiritual champions for you. May they experience this day such a metamorphosis that everyone whom they encounter will know that something has happened. And most importantly, when soon and very soon you descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Oh God, may these dear ones hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joys of your Lord." We praise your name and thank you in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Let every believer say amen.
Amen.
Let somebody say praise the Lord. And for good measure, let somebody shout glory to God.
Glory to God.
God bless you and God keep you is my.
Amen. Dr. Black, you have blessed our hearts and we shall continue to pray for you as you minister in such a wonderful way. And God bless you as you do that. Thank you to our guests for being with us. We have a group of missionaries we are sending today to the Gulf Coast to help rebuild there. Would you keep them in your thoughts and prayers? And these who have made decisions today, let them know of your thoughts and prayers as well. Thank you, Dr. Black. So you've got your marching orders. All right. Remember what Ignatius said. We go forth to serve as God deserves. Let us give and not count the cost. Let us fight and not heed the wounds. Let us toil and not seek for reward, except knowing that we do God's will and that we give him our best. Amen. Amen.